Season 1, Episode 15. On today's podcast episode, we are going to be talking about mental health in young people. This is a huge topic with a lot of different nuances. But today, I'm going to offer a broad stroke of what this developmental outcome includes. Let's go ahead and get started. Have you ever felt that we are losing young people to the world around them and that they have already chosen to walk away from Jesus without even knowing him? And did you know that all young people are at risk for something? That's why I want to welcome you to the Jesus is My Hashtag podcast, where positive youth development and youth ministry intersect. I'm your host, Deb Schroeder. Join me weekly for encouragement, resources, and strategies to assist you in helping young people make Jesus their hashtag. You've probably guessed it, but yes, we are back at the Youth Development Construction Site. From our toolbox, I am pulling out mental health. If I had to tell you one tool that would represent mental health for me, I see a level, because that makes me think of a balance. And when we are talking about mental health, we want a balance to exist in our young people. And like all outcomes, mental health will constantly be in development. When I say mental health, it may mean or encompass different things for different people. Let me offer the Advancing Youth Development definition as our basis for understanding this outcome. Mental health is the ability and motivation to respond affirmatively to and cope with positive and adverse situations, to reflect on one's emotions and surroundings, and to engage in leisure and fun. There's a lot going on in that definition, so we are going to break it down into smaller sections. Let's look at the first part of that definition. Mental health includes the ability and motivation to respond affirmatively to and cope with positive and adverse situations. Simply put, youth need to be able to deal with good and bad things that face them each day. They need to be able to handle change, and they need to be able to handle things when something doesn't go the way they want or hoped for. Now, when we see young people do this, it doesn't mean that they like what's going on. It means that they have developed skills that allow them to find positives and respond in a way that allows them to make healthy choices for themselves. For example, if a young person is in school and someone is being unkind to them, rather than yelling and screaming at that person, our hope would be that the teen could stand up for themselves, ignore the behavior, or get adults appropriately involved to help change the situation. These would be ways to respond affirmatively. The other side of this is that youth need to be able to enjoy positive situations as well. They need to be in the moment and celebrate good things happening to them. If a young person experiences something positive, but only is looking for the negatives in that situation, or is waiting for something bad to happen, they are still needing to develop this outcome. Moving on to the second part of that definition, mental health includes the ability and motivation to reflect on one's emotions and surroundings. Young people need to be able to talk about their emotions, to identify them. They need to develop an understanding of how they're feeling and why they're feeling that way. Developing an ability to read their situation includes having a general idea of their own emotions as well as the emotions of those around them. Now, not all young people naturally share emotions or want to talk about them. Some young people have been shot down and treated poorly when they have shared in the past. Some young people have this idea that talking about their emotions makes them weak. That's why it's not uncommon for it to take extra time for a young person to build trust to tell you how they're feeling. And even then, it's a natural thing for a young person to not know why they feel a certain way. Now, for that last part of the definition, mental health includes the ability and motivation to engage in leisure and fun. Young people need to be able to experience leisure and fun in their lives. This is important because it provides an emotional break, it relieves stress, it can reset how one is feeling, and it can provide a new focus. And sometimes it can even be a healthy distraction for some of the negative things going on in their life. The key here is a balance. It can't be about avoiding tough situations to only engage in fun. They still need to be able to be present at times to face the reality of their life. When we see young people doing these three things, we are witnessing some positive mental health development. We see young people invested in relationships, talking about their future, laughing, and having a balance of emotions. We are not seeing this back and forth of high mountains and really low valleys. Yes, there are emotions and differing emotions, but there is a natural balance. But what happens when a young person doesn't have the ability to do these things? We can start to see depression set in. We may see a young person feeling sad, hopeless, or helpless. This can be marked by isolating behaviors and withdrawal from people and activities. There can be low energy and low motivation in young people that continues to grow. We may also see anxiety. This might be exhibited by irritability, restlessness, difficulty concentrating, or emotional outbursts. Youth may struggle to make decisions when they experience anxiety. And at times, they may experience physical signs of anxiety, like an increased heart rate or excessive sweating. There can also be headaches, fatigue, changes in eating habits associated with anxiety, as well as depression. And we can also see a clear emotional imbalance. High highs, low lows, a roller coaster of emotions that seem uncontrollable at times. This emotional imbalance seems to pair with both depression and anxiety. So, what are the impacts when young people are unable to cultivate this developmental outcome? It is not uncommon to see a young person's grades drop. For a teen that does well academically, a sudden change may be more noticeable. But all young people's grades can be impacted by not turning in assignments, skipping classes, increased absences, and even truancy. These things can lead to poor grades. When youth are struggling with depression and anxiety, we often see a social withdrawal. Many youth begin to spend more time away from friends and relationships. We might see a deterioration in friendships or relationships within their family. Further, youth may begin spending increased time in their bedrooms, in their beds, and on technology. And when someone does try to engage them, that person is often shot down and the young person continues to withdraw. Both anxiety and depression, when left unchecked, can lead to youth engaging in self-harm such as cutting and even suicide. The reality is that we cannot stop a young person from these behaviors, and we are not responsible for those things either. But one thing I have always tried to do is to be in touch and continually reach out to young people when they appear to be withdrawing. Creating a support network around youth can make a difference in their feeling alone, and it also creates more ways to identify risk behaviors such as these. Today, I'm not going to go into great detail on self-harm or suicide, as I am just giving a broader overview of mental health in young people. During the teen years, many youth will experiment with drinking, vaping, smoking, and some will even try drugs. The challenge is when youth are experiencing depression, anxiety, and choosing to avoid their reality. That is when we see an even greater increase in alcohol and drug consumption. At times when youth struggle to balance emotions or handle change, they might choose negative or risky behaviors. Youth may try to numb their emotions and avoid dealing with them by using alcohol and drugs. They may even start to seek acceptance for these risky behaviors as a way to feel connected to someone. And some youth take unsafe risks. For example, there can be an increase in reckless driving and higher speeds. Or youth may feel empowered to do physical things that are not safe, such as climbing to heights or going places that pose a greater risk to their safety. There's not a one-size-fits-all in how to identify which risky or unhealthy behavior a young person might engage in. It will be different for every young person. For some youth, they exhibit anger both verbally and even physically. I remember when I worked in the psychiatric correctional unit in Texas with adolescent males. We obviously were dealing with serious mental health issues, but one of the things that stood out for me was the quickness to escalate anger that went hand in hand for about 65 to 75% of the boys. We could be having a great day, and then all of a sudden a young man would start screaming, becoming physically violent, that often it would lead to a medical restraint and removal to a safe room. These instances broke my heart because for some, this became their high in the absence of chemical abuse. Now, you may not see this as drastically as I did at times, but the truth is, caring adults can often see young people engage in physical fights and verbal abuse and even bullying. We can see anger escalate quickly, and youth often will match each other's anger levels. Many youth will also experience a pattern of sleep interruption. Whether they are unable to fall asleep, stay asleep, have restless sleep, or even nightmares, the outcome is the same. Youth are more likely to be unfocused, irritable, and emotional. This in turn can lead to those high highs and low lows and those rapid drops between them. It can also increase their depression and anxiety. In episode 14, I talked about how teens need 9 to 9.5 hours of sleep a night, but on average get 7 to 7.25 hours of sleep, and that this impacts their mood, their focus, their memory. This continues to demonstrate how physical health and mental health impact one another. So far, what I've talked about are some of the most common things I've seen in working with young people. You may have additional ways that you see youth act out a struggle with their mental health that's not on my list. This is not an exhaustive list. It's just a starting place. You know your young people the best, and you know what you're looking for and what you see with them. Either way, this can lead us to the question, why is mental health so important? According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, depression and anxiety have increased over time. In my opinion, we most likely will continue to see this increase as our society and as our communities struggle to balance changes in families, education, economics, and a lack of access to mental health supports and services. The National Alliance on Mental Illness reports that mental health conditions are common among teens and young adults. 50% of all lifetime mental illnesses develop by age 14 and 75% develop by age 24. That means that you will be working with young people while these potential mental health conditions are developing. And at the same time, they are working to develop the outcomes that they need to transition into adulthood. I need to acknowledge that there are young people that experience other mental health issues, such as schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, oppositional defiance, and many more. These issues are beyond my general knowledge and my educational scope and experience. That's why I'm not really going to dive into those today. But the bottom line, all young people will face situations that can impact their mental health. And mental health is important because a lack of ability and motivation to handle positive or adverse situations, to be in tune with one's emotions, and to engage in fun activities, it will disrupt a young person's development of other outcomes needed to transition into adulthood. Mental health often goes undiagnosed and is a growing problem for our young people. That's one of the reasons why it should matter to you and I as caring adults and youth workers. We can provide a support network that can help to identify problems and connect them to the right resources. So, what happens when a young person exhibits signs and symptoms of depression or anxiety? Sadly, youth can be scolded and disciplined for their behaviors. Adults may assume that a young person is just acting out, being lazy, or being disrespectful, rather than understanding that they're struggling emotionally and mental health-wise. And once a young person has been disciplined as a result of these things, it will make them less likely to reach out for help and support. I also believe it helps to increase a young person's belief that something is wrong with them and that their struggles mean they are broken and not valuable. When young people believe that, it makes it even harder to connect with them and help them move in positive directions. Now, the question you've probably been waiting for, how do we help young people develop positive mental health, especially when the majority of us are not licensed and trained psychologists or therapists? I'm going to offer 6 ways that we can help young people. Number 1, listen to young people. Remember in episodes 5 and 6, I shared 5 key youth development beliefs. Specifically, I talked about the goal not being to fix young people, but to develop them. That right there is your permission, or more accurately, your reminder, that it's not your job to fix young people. As I shared when we discussed safety and structure, there are a few things that will lead me to immediate intervention with a young person. If a young person says that they will or that they are actually harming themselves or someone else, I am going to move towards intervention. I want to encourage you to know your policies and responsibilities according to your job or volunteer role. And you also need to be thinking about putting in place boundaries of what you will listen to. In a future episode, we will talk about self-care of the youth worker, and we will touch back on the importance of boundaries that you can put in place as a caring adult. Before I move on, I want to share a secret weapon that I use when I'm listening to young people. If there's a young person that doesn't want to talk to me, I often have coloring pages and fidget toys ready to share. These things can distract or relax a young person's mind. Having something that keeps their hands busy allows them to focus and often will get them to open up. Number two, validate how a young person is feeling. This doesn't mean that we say a young person is right or that we allow them to blame others for their situation. It means that we acknowledge that their feelings are real, even if we don't agree with their behaviors or opinions. We do this by using statements like, "I imagine that hurts that you feel that way," or "I bet it isn't easy to experience that." Sometimes simply being validated is what a young person needs in that moment. Number three, refer young people to supports and services that they need. This is important because you are not, nor should you be, their only support and service. If we are talking mental health needs, young people are going to need a network of support, and sometimes it needs to be a professional service. Take time to know what options are available in your community and work with the young person's parents to engage those things. Number four, create ways to help young people engage in healthy activities that will promote mental health. As you plan activities, it's important to have a variety of ways to connect with your young people. For example, if a young person is experiencing anxiety about being around large groups, make sure you offer smaller group options. If a young person is experiencing depression, you may have to encourage that young person and invite them multiple times. Creating different ways to engage young people will be critical. Number five, be consistent on checking in with your young people. Whether we are talking about mental health or not, it's important to follow through and check in if you say you are going to. We also need to be aware when there has been a gap in contact or attendance. If you need to create a way to track this in an app or on paper, do it. Do whatever works for you. Just keep an eye out for those young people that seem to be flying under the radar. Number six, point out behaviors we see that might be harming a young person or holding them back from growing and developing. If you see a young person struggling with depression, it's okay to tell them that you're concerned about how they're isolating themselves or you're concerned about how they're feeling. If a young person is dealing with anger and an inability to handle change, help them to make a plan to stay calm and to take deep breaths as a strategy. You can always address what you see in a young person in an encouraging way that will lead them to trust versus making a young person feel worse about themselves. I want to acknowledge that I haven't talked about the role that faith can play in mental health. That's a whole other podcast for another time. But I do want to say that as young people figure out who they are and who God says they are, they can find freedom in knowing that anxiety and depression do not define them. God sees them as so much more. As promised, there's your broad overview of the mental health developmental outcome. We could spend months talking about how we can help young people in this area. And no doubt, we will frequently circle back to mental health on the Jesus Is My Hashtag podcast. But for now, I'm going to put mental health back in our youth development toolbox. Over the next week, I'm going to give you time to process what I've shared and offer you one question to think about. What are you doing to build relationships with young people that allow you to connect with them around their mental health? Whether your answer is a long list, one thing, or you struggle to even answer it, don't worry. Just listening to this podcast can be an investment in the lives of your young people. On our next episode, I will be walking us through intellectual ability. This outcome is more than just book smarts. It's important for all young people, and I hope that you will join me. Hey there, fellow youth workers. Thanks for tuning in today. Remember what Matthew 9:37 tells us. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. In other words, keep showing up and keep caring.